War, the military and economic unmaking of global hegemons. If the god of Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series turns out to be otherwise preoccupied, as he seems to have been during the later wartime embroilments of Spain, Holland, and Britain, then, lacking heavenly intervention, any major military confrontation in the Middle East or anywhere else could easily have results similar to those of the past. U.S. global supremacy could drain away more in 5 to 20 years than most Americans would have thought possible. In the months after September 11, 2001, Washington could have shaped a multilateral response able to maintain much of the worldwide goodwill volunteered to the United States in the wake of the shocking attacks. Instead, the administration's response was fundamentalist, unilateralist, and Manichaean, trumpeting a confrontation, briefly even termed a crusade, pitting good against evil. The invasion and occupation of Iraq, another poorly planned agenda, provided an environment that enabled overseas terrorism and radicalism to renew itself around a more acceptable anti-American cause. If terrorism remains center stage in a Middle Eastern war of attrition, that battle could last long enough, flaring into guerrilla wars and even civil wars, to wear the United States down militarily and economically. Osama bin Laden has hinted at exactly these hopes. Other outbreaks could be more conventional. The beginning deployment of the U.S. military as an oil defense force, bunched around oil production centers, the Middle East, the Caucasus, and West Africa, and also along pipeline routes and oil transportation sea lanes, crystallizes the possibility of periodic resource wars. For the United States, these would involve oil, but among other nations, water resources represent a second focus of contention. The Pentagon, as already noted, has prepared scenarios in which climate changes provoke resource wars. The annals of the leading world economic powers, however, show a clear pattern of major wars playing a central role in the upending of one hegemon and the emerging of another. Small conflicts can provide hints, but the great confrontations, the 30 Years' War, the wars of 1688 to 1713, the Seven Years' War, the French Revolution and Napoleonic Wars, World War I and World War II, have been decisive catalysts. While the two 20th century world wars carry their global magnitude in their names, the others were forerunners. The 30 Years' War was a religious and political clash in Europe, but it had colonial and economic overtones elsewhere. Paul Kennedy notes that Dutch military expeditions struck at Brazil, Angola, and Ceylon, turning the conflict into what some historians describe as the First Global War. After peace came in 1648, the Dutch were the major beneficiaries, Spain the unhorsed leading power. The conflict of 1688 to 1713, precise historians divide it into two separate wars, marked Britain's emergence and relative Dutch weakening in trade, if not in global loan-making. Like the 30 Years' War, the conflicts of 1688 to 1713 reached around the world, and British gains at the peace table included Gibraltar, Minorca, Nova Scotia, and Newfoundland. The Seven Years' War and the Anglo-Dutch theater of the 1780 to 1784 global war that grew out of the American Revolution finished off Dutch pretensions and confirmed British predominance, a stature elevated by the Napoleonic Wars and confirmed at Waterloo. The 20th century wars, obviously, marked the two-stage undoing of British imperial and financial hegemony and the emergence of the United States in that role. But if war and its financial underpinnings are hallmarks of hegemonic rise and fall, a good case can be made for the simultaneous overlay of other forces, such as religion, natural resources, and culture, including so-called decadence. One common feature of Spanish, Dutch, and British commentaries during their respective heydays was attention to how the rhythms of the life cycles of nations resemble those of living organisms. Youth, maturity, old age, and passing. During the later part of these national spans, more weakens than simply the fiscal and economic underpinnings of empire. Probably that is why the great wars have been grim reapers of international hegemonies, as well as of so many individual lives. In addition to the various reformations and counter-reformations, maritime regimes, resource supremacies, and cultural rhythms, watershed changes in the intensity and cost of the major wars have also been decisive, as Paul Kennedy makes clear.